You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's episode might sound a bit controversial and will probably be provocative for some of you, but that's a good thing as far as I'm concerned. Provocation means we're challenged to think differently about something, to examine something that we might blindly hold to be a truth or we've just never actually examined. And sometimes I know that provocation can make us dig our heels in and close our minds to something new, but if you're listening to this show, I'm guessing you probably are up for some self-reflection and challenging those assumptions. So I hope that you're coming to this with a very open mind and some flexibility. As with everything I talk about on Everything is Workable, this is not a definitive truth or fact, and I'm not the first to present on this subject in this way. I'm merely offering something to contemplate and mull over. The topic, as you'll already know from the title of the episode, is hope, or rather, abandoning hope. Or perhaps letting go of hope would be a better way to put it. I will come to that though. This could come across as a pretty unpopular opinion. We put a lot of emphasis on the importance of hope for various reasons, and the idea of abandoning it sounds totally off, especially coming from someone who's talking about making everything really, really workable. I imagine most of us would see hope as something really beneficial, that we should have in our toolkit, that I should be promoting. It's something that can help a person through difficult times, like hoping for better health during an illness or hoping for an eventual end to grief or something. Before I go further, and because I want to ensure we're all on the same page to some degree, I'm going to talk about the definition of hope that I'm using when I'm talking about it. And in doing so, I think, for those of you who have listened to past episodes or who have practiced of your own, the reason I titled this episode Abandon Hope might become a bit clearer. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular outcome or result. For those of you who listened to Series 1, I did an episode on letting go of expectations. Hope is a form of expectation, usually one that we can get really hung up on. So much so that if a particular outcome that we were hoping for doesn't happen, it can be devastating. It can almost be worse than the thing that we were hoping to overcome. An already painful situation can become more painful when what we are hoping for doesn't happen. Basically, where there's hope, there's also fear. Fear that we won't get what we're hoping for. Or possibly we hold on to hope even though we know that there's no possible way for what we are hoping for to come to pass. So we build an expectation on the impossible or the highly unlikely. Now I appreciate this may sound pessimistic, and there is always the possibility that choosing not to hope will lead to pessimism. But I would not for a second describe myself as a pessimistic person, nor see this letting go of hope as a pessimistic way of viewing the world. The thing about pessimism is that it carries a whole bunch of expectations with it too, just like hope. The pessimist expects the worst, and also, therefore, assumes the worst a lot of the time, which isn't a very comfortable or happy way to live your life. Of course, the optimist could be constantly riding a wave of hope, facing regular disappointments, but denying their impact or ignoring it when there's a legitimate problem that needs to be addressed. And I'm not arguing for realism here either. So-called realists that I've encountered tend to be people who use the term to justify their bigotry or the bigotry of others by claiming that they're just basing things on what's real, like sexism, racism, homophobia, etc. are facts of life, and anyone who says otherwise isn't being realistic. As a Buddhist, I have spent considerable time contemplating and studying the concept of realness, The idea that anything can be real is thoroughly and consistently challenged in Buddhist teachings and, well, in life. And when I say real, I mean having an objective existence. And nothing is real. There's not a single thing to be found in the entire universe that isn't subjective in relation to all the things around it, and therefore dynamic and capable of changing. The irony of the arguments of so-called realists, who really just fall kind of on the side of pessimism, is that they're in fact completely ignoring reality because they're stating that things can't change. Arguing for realism is a logical fallacy. Because everything is subjective, everything is subjective to change, therefore everything can change. Realists aren't really acknowledging that at all. So, how do we go about letting go of hope without becoming a bitter pessimist or a cynical realist? How can we live without hope and still enjoy life? Here's where I'm going to switch it up a bit and say that actually, it's not abandoning hope per se, but rather abandoning our attachment to outcomes. We can have hope that things will go a certain way, but we should also be prepared for the fact that sometimes they won't, and we're capable of adapting to that. We're capable of adjusting. Basically, in advocating for letting go of hope, I'm advocating for flexibility, for being able to cope with and approach everything in our lives with an open mind and heart, to hope that a treatment will help cure our friend's cancer, but be okay with the fact that it might not. And if it doesn't, we can face that, or we're willing to face that. We can hope that we'll get a job that we want, but we know that if we don't, we're open to that too. We can hope that the person that we've fallen in love with will reciprocate that, but if they don't, we're prepared to move on. So how do we go about developing this approach? How do we let go of our attachment to hope, to wanting that particular outcome and being too focused on it? I'm going to use a job as an example, as I think it's something a lot of people can relate to, and it also shows how this works in a really modern, practical way. Let's say that you have a job interview, and it's for a job you really, really want. Capital R, I really want this job. It's ideal. The perfect thing for you and your skill set, not to mention ideal hours, brilliant people to work with, opportunities for advancement that interest you. The job interview goes really well, you're feeling confident, you really hope you'll get this job. So much so that you're already visualizing how the next few months will pan out. But then they call you and they don't offer you the job. They tell you that while you were an incredibly strong candidate, they've gone with someone else. Thank you for applying. Best of luck in the future. Something like this happened to me once. It was awful. I cried for several hours. I was really upset because I'd been so certain I would get that job. My hope had turned into a fantasy, and my imagination had fueled it so much that I was convinced I had the job, even when I didn't. And when I was told that I hadn't got the job, I was so unprepared for the unknowableness of the future. And that's the thing. The future is unwritten, but hope can lead us to assume that it's not. So what does the scenario look like when we practice letting go of hope? Let's rewind. Right to the bit right after our interview. It's gone really well. We felt really confident about it, and we're visualizing how the next few months will pan out. In fact, the whole thing starts with the thought of, ooh, what would I wear on my first day? Dress to impress, that sort of thing, right? So you notice that. You notice the thought. Notice that you're picturing success before you have it. That we're counting our chickens before they've hatched, so to speak. And we can put that aside. We're like, oh, okay, well, there's a scenario that might happen. That would be nice. But then bring up another visualization. What if we don't get the job? Go for the exact opposite. We don't get the job. The first reaction, like genuinely thinking, what if they call and say, no, sorry, we're not hiring you? What does that feel like? It might be really uncomfortable, a kick in the gut, disbelief at the prospect. But I guarantee it won't be nearly so painful as the moment that you find out that you genuinely aren't getting the job if you've spent several days thinking that you will, or hoping that you will. So then you can get to work with how that feels, right? Get to work with the sharpness of rejection. What quality does it have? Where does it live? Is it in the lower belly? Is it in the stomach? Does it have a color, a shape, a texture? And then ask some more questions. Can you live with it? Can you live with knowing that actually you might just not get the perfect job? Also, what if it turns out not to be the perfect job? So we can bring in another visualization. We get the job, and then due to bullying in the workplace, we might leave within 3 months. We could picture what that might be like. What if we did get the job, but actually it didn't turn out to be as great as we thought it was going to be? What if we don't get that job, but actually they offer us a different position? How would we feel about that? Or what if we don't get that job, but fortunately, suddenly it means that like the next day we see a different job and we do end up getting that one. Wow, isn't it great that we were totally available? Or we don't get the job and that kind of works out because of a family crisis that comes up where we need to be available to be a caregiver or something like that. The whole idea is actually there are an infinite number of possibilities. And basically, we're doing a practice of speculating and imagining those multiple improbable possibly outcomes and just analyzing our emotional responses to them. We get to know the emotional responses in a testing ground before all the data is in. So when the data is in, we're able to cope and move forward without getting snagged on our hopes, having not come to fruition. What this does is it prepares us for anything. Instead of being prepared for the best or prepared for the worst, we're prepared for possibility, regardless of what we're hoping for. We've done a genuine assessment of what each possibility will feel like. And also, in doing so, you'll start to realize that there are infinite possibilities. All of this contributes to us working as best we can with something without actually having lived it yet, so that when we do live it, we're able to adjust, to be flexible. As usual, I can only speak for myself. I've been practicing letting go of hope for many years, and for me, it's definitely made life much more workable. It's a practice I wish I'd had when I didn't get that job when I was in my early 20s. That would have helped a lot. So please, test it out for yourself. Even just with small things, start noticing where hope crops up in your life. How often we hope that traffic won't make us late, or we hope that our favorite sandwich will be available for lunch, or we hope we'll get a call from someone we really, really like. And notice how often it is that that hope is helpful versus how often we actually feel bad if it doesn't turn out how we hoped. And notice when you're able to let go of hope, how much more open you are to all the possibilities, all the potential outcomes, and possibly even start to get curious about them as a result. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.